The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network. I'm not afraid, to take a stand.
Live Off the Record with Shivago Lang is sponsored by Royal Star Assurance, Bamboo Shack, Royal Fidelity Bank and Trust, the Digital Transformation Unit, Fidelity Bank Bahamas, and the Water and Sewage Corporation.
Gentlemen, to Z Live, I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon. I trust and hope that you are doing well today. If you want to give us a call at all, the numbers to do so are as follow. You can call us on 323-6232. That's 323-6232. 225-4316. 325-4316 or 325-4259. That's 325-4259. You can also text us on 422-4796. Or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. That's 439-3043. We are, of course, live on Cable Bahamas, channel 969. That's the way my mother listens to the show. Or you can catch us on BTC Flow Channel 612. That's BTC Flow Channel 612. I'm trying to organize for a call to assist what I think is a noble effort. And so I want to get that done before I get into the crux of what I am going to be dealing with today, which may or may not make some people happy. You never can tell sometimes, because you know people have their interest. And sometimes when you delve into a matter, they don't like it because it may not accord with their interest. But hey, you know, we try to educate, we try to inform, we try to inspire. I never try to make angry. I never try to offend. But sometimes it's unavoidable. So, producer, we're going to have a caller on the line. I'm going to take that call first before I get into that other stuff. And hopefully everybody will be okay. So we're expecting a call. There's an event coming up. The Ministry of Social Services and Urban developing a national gender-based violence discriminatory law review forum. So that's a national gender-based violence discriminatory law review forum. This is going to take place between February 17th and 18th. So that's tomorrow and the day after tomorrow, from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. And then on February 19th, from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. And this is going to take place at Bahama Grand Hyatt, a Zoom platform that's available. If you are interested to participate, you can email Gender and Family Affairs, that's one word, Gender and Family Affairs at bahamas.gov.bs. Or you want some more information, you can call 397-8600. Of course, with God being hard to all of the gender-based violence we have been experiencing, mostly against women, females, some against children. There is this heightened concern about it, and there is effort being made to try and assist. So I have on the line, who do I have on the line now?
You have on the line Dr. Kalei Philippe.
Dr. Philippe, yes, ma'am. Welcome again to the show.
Welcome.
Always a pleasure to have you.
Thank you so much. Since the last time we spoke, Director for the Department of Gender and Family Affairs.
All right, so you shifted.
Yes, in health, we were and are concerned about gender-based violence as we provide services through the suspected child abuse and neglect units, as well as in accident emergencies who are rape victims. So
right. This
is taking it to a different level.
And so you have a forum coming up now. So do I take it by the name of the forum that you are looking at legislative solutions to addressing this, or what is happening with the forum coming up tomorrow, the day after tomorrow, and Friday?
Yes, we do have a forum coming up on the 17th through the 19th of February, 2022. And this forum is addressing gender-based violence and the discrimination in the law toward reversing discrimination in the law in addressing gender-based violence. As you know, the Bahamas has signed on to several conventions, in particular the United Nations Convention on the Elimination Against Women, and we presented in October of 2018 at that meeting in Geneva, Switzerland, and at that time, all commitments to making changes in the law. Our minister, the Honorable O.B. Wilscombe, as well as the Minister of State, Ms. Lisa Ramming, they are committed to going to these conventions in the upcoming months, particularly the Commission on the Status of Women and the CEDAW, to now be able to say that the Bahamas has made significant strides in ensuring that there is indeed gender equality in the law to reduce gender-based violence against women.
Sorry, what is it in our law that is discriminatory that would, if corrected, assist in reducing, we hope, gender-based violence? What I know we have discriminatory gender discrimination in our Constitution itself in terms of conveying citizenship and the like, but what is there that is connected to gender-based violence that's discriminatory?
So, for example, one of the areas that we're concerned about is access to sexual reproductive health services. And you and I have had this discussion where in the law we recognize that a person is can give access, but between 16 and 18, they're not able to access health care services. So, for example,
health care services? What does that mean?
So what it means, a woman under the age of 16 who gets pregnant, she can go to the clinic, be seen at the clinic, she can deliver the baby. But if she wanted to go to the clinic on her own, she needs to have representation of an adult. If she wants to get services, for example, a checkup, if she has an infection and she wants to go to the doctor on her own, the law does not permit her to access the services on her own.
And so in the circumstance like that, she might have some privacy concede to her being, you know, abused. She doesn't have that opportunity to do it because she needs to have an adult present. And the adult, it might be somebody who might threaten her regarding, you know, the reasons why she may have need for this medical service, is what you're saying?
And it also makes her vulnerable. So, example, if she lives in the house with her parents and she's 16 and under, but some 25-year-old, 21-year-old, anyone, any male or female above that age that comes to visit and takes, you know, advantage, can say, well, she can consent. You can't do anything, right? And so it doesn't provide the protection for this young person. There's not the protection in the law.
So hold on. She can consent to, say, having sex with that 21-year-old.
She can consent, according to
the law. But she can't go and get medical attention.
According to the law.
According to the same law.
Yes, according to the same law.
She can give consent to have sex with somebody. Maybe she gets pregnant by that person or some sexual disease by that person, but she can't go to get medical attention without an adult.
That's right.
Well, that's irrational.
Right, that can change. And then there's also another simple one that can change is one that addresses childhood marriage or child marriages. I don't know if you know that is still part in our law that, parents can consent to children being married.
What is it, 14 and older or what? Is it 14?
I think it's about that.
Yeah, it's that a child cannot get married at age below whatever that age is, but at this age, it might be 14, 15. I don't remember what it is, but I think it's 14. With the consent of the parents, it can happen.
Right. With the consent of the parents.
With the parents, it can happen. You can get married.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't go. Anyway, yeah.
So these are marriage and family relations. We're looking at page 14. Oh, I'm right there. Marriage and relations, right? So the concerns are, in this marriage act, the laws that state parties should ensure that by their laws, both parents, regardless of their marital status, whether they live with their child, this is firstly the section unmarried mothers, child custody, child protection. These are some of the laws that we'll be looking at. Marriage Act, right. So children as young as 13 years can get married in the Bahamas. This is provided for in Section 50 of the Marriage Act, which states firstly that a marriage solemnized between persons either of whom is under the age of 15 years is void. Okay, this is all the legal language, right?
Yeah.
That the Supreme Court may, upon the application of either party to an intended marriage who has reached the age of 13 years but is under the age of 15 years, and upon good cause shown by order, grant a dispensation, and in such case the intended marriage may be lawfully solemnized. Section 31 stipulates that children under 18 must get the consent of parents or guardians as the case
may be. So y'all give you consent to get married at 13, but they can't give you consent to vote.
Mm. So the recommendation is to amend Section 15 of the Marriage Act to increase the minimum age for marriage by providing that a marriage solemnized between persons either of whom is under the age of 18 years is void. So it is protecting again. So it's a simple recommendation. And then such recommendations are as to ensure that the Gender-Based Violence Act is passed unanimously, ensuring that we have a gender-based violence authority, that we have Department of Gender supporting that, supporting the councils, to really making sure that we have the legislative support to equalize the status of women so that they are less risk of gender-based violence.
Is the so-called marital rape issue also on the agenda at this forum?
We will be discussing that. There is a document people can go online to look at. It's called The Criminalization of Marital Rape and Intimate Partner Sexual Violence Across the Commonwealth, done by the Equality and Justice Alliance. And this document was written by our very own Ms. Marion Bethel, and she will be, there as well to discuss this. So I think this would be a really great time for people to get more knowledgeable about it and how we're looking at it. And there's a document that will be reviewed. So I want to go back to the Sexual Offenses Act, Access to Sexual and Reproductive Health. The CEDAW, the Convention on Elimination Discrimination Against Women, has drawn attention to the consent for sexual intercourse, which is 16 years, and the age at which minors are allowed to receive contraceptives and other health services without requiring parental consent, which is 18. So that's the discrimination there.
Yeah, and I think that's a rational question to raise, because it is incongruent that you have someone who is able to have sex at 16 but not able to access reproductive tools to assist them and protect them until they're 18. I think that's a rational question to raise.
Yeah, so there's a lot of rational law components in the law that can be addressed as we discuss them, and would really put the Bahamas standing in good stead amongst the women, men, girls, boys, transgender, just the people in the Bahamas, to our commitment in the conventions, but also
you always get bogged down in our hypersensitivity to certain issues like abortion, like gay rights, and so forth and what have you, right? And so is the issue of abortion a matter being discussed at the forum?
That is not a focus of this forum. You know, we must take certain important steps first before we get to the sensitive issues. I would ask people to really look at our penal code and recognize that within it, it does give the right for medical, mental health reasons in regards to abortion, but it won't be a featured item. We really have to deal with the low-hanging fruit in regards to addressing these basic changes that we could make first to equalize the playing field.
I just wanted to make sure, because, you know, we like to sometimes we cloud these issues and other things when, in fact, that's not the issue on the table today. But when people attend the forum, what is the expectation that they can give input, they learn, they give input? What's the expectation about their participation at the forum?
Right. So the expectation with the forum, as a matter of fact, the minister has supported an advisory committee for the forum. There's also a task force that will be really coming together in breakout rooms to discuss the various components. One of the key documents is the document by the UN Women Multicultural Country Office, which is mapping and analysis of the laws of the Bahamas. We'll be discussing the various laws that identify some discriminatory components. We'll be looking at the Gender-Based Violence Act, the Domestic Violence Protection Order Act, and discussing what is the way forward for the country so that we can eliminate gender-based violence in the law. Really, elimination in the law.
I do want to... Yes, ma'am.
Go ahead. Yeah.
Yeah, I just wanted to say, because sometimes we can be fairly hard and harsh on our laws pass, you know? Where, for instance, when you look at a law that says, you know, at 13 years old, you can give consent if the parents consent to see him. And we can look at that today and say that's really ridiculous. But the truth is, we do live in a culturally morphing world, don't we? And people used to get married quite much younger back then.
Yes, 12. Like now, yes, right? Yes. Mm-hmm.
So it's not, I mean, it's odd now, given our new context, but we have to put in context when these laws were first passed, the environment that they were in.
And I'm glad you've brought that context to bear, that it was the environment, but now we're in a new environment. For example, I commend our founding mothers and fathers that, you know, I could be on the news with you having this discussion. Because previously done, I myself, my parents are from San Salvador and Rum Key. My dad did not finish high school. My mother moved on to higher education. But because of what was provided in this country, I was supported as a young woman to be able to go to school on scholarship. So there is a level of movement in our country. In regards to women, we have the president of the Senate, the chair of the House is women. You know, I'm very proud of what we've done thus far. I think now we need to move further with actualizing within our laws the passion that we have for what has been laid, the foundation that has been laid. And I think we can take a recommendation from other countries. When I look at the laws in Jamaica, they, from the Constitution, it gives equal rights to both men and women of transferring nationality. We are equal. In the sight of God, we're equal, and it should be written in the law.
We're going to take a break, and then when we come back, we're going to continue our discussion with Dr. Philippe as she talks about the upcoming gender violence forum. We'll be back after this break.
Take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather, cold or warm, just let me know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same road.
Know how important collecting your money can be to the success of your business. Start your relationship with Fidelity today so that we can show you the many options available to you with our merchant services. From click and pay options online to merchant terminals and e-commerce options, we're here to help your business succeed. For more details, speak to one of our business development officers at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport. Visit our website at fidelitygroup.com or visit any of our branches.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
Happy anniversary, My Gateway. Did you know that you can request and pay for over 35 government services on mygateway.gov.bs? Sign up today and access government services online with efficiency and simplicity. It's a celebration of a year of transformation journey. My Gateway, making government work for you.
Babe, you mashed the car?
I mashed the car. The lady run into me mashed the car.
I hope she had insurance.
If she had insurance, she hop out, pull out her phone, pull up the Royal Star Assurance app, and bang, she was on a video call with an RSA rep, sending pictures of her damage, my damage, filing a claim on the spot.
For real? Our insurance have that kind of app?
You gotta go to RSA for that.
Download the RSA app today, or visit rsabahamas.com to submit your claim online. Live chat available weekdays 9 to 5.
I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand.
Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. I'm so glad you join us here today as we discuss with Dr. Philippe the Ministry of Social Services and Urban Development National Gender-Based Violence Discriminatory Law Review Forum coming up between tomorrow and the 19th. In Underground Hyatt, but there's a Zoom link that also allows you to participate in the forum. Doc, give me again what is the section now?
The Department of Gender and Family Affairs in the Ministry of Social Service and
Okay. Right. Now somebody's raising a question that I think is valid. They note that you asked a question she didn't answer. How is this issue discriminatory? Males nor females can do that, whatever that is, whether that is going to the consent of their parents. So how is it about equality? So do women want to get abortions with men? Are they looking to adjust that? That's the question the person is asking.
Oh, that's a good question. How is it equality? Now, the amazing thing about what we're doing is it's about gender equality. So it should be equal. It should be that a young male between 16 and 18 should be able to go to the clinic to access service. A young female should also have equal opportunity. That is the equality. The equality then would also be a male who's able to transfer his nationality. A female should be able to transfer her nationality. So what we're doing in the law is looking at areas where it's unequal footing for either a man or a woman and making sure that it's equal in the sight of the law. So it's not just for women, but when there's the environment of the relationship and the country improves. You can also look at the Employment Act, the Land Inheritance Act, in terms of women as well. So that is, so sometimes when people hear what we're working on, it could seem like, oh, we're only focusing on women, We know that when it comes to gender-based violence, of course, the majority of the perpetrators are male and the victims or survivors are female. I don't know. Does that answer the question?
In the particular instance, I guess the issue isn't one of discrimination, not that particular example we use where, you know, I'm assuming the law doesn't say females can't go to get medical attention without the consent, without an accompanying adult. It doesn't say only females.
It's both genders. So that's right.
So I'm saying that's not discriminatory. That one is not. When you have a reform issue, you're looking at many issues where some of them are discriminatory, particularly on the nationality front.
Yes, as well. Yes. So discriminatory on various levels. Yes, you're right.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So if somebody wants to participate in the forum, is there the need to register or what?
Not at this point. If they want to participate, as you said before, we have a Zoom link. The flyer should be out. I know we've been sending it out to people so that they can link on, particularly on the 17th, as we have the opening remarks and social media. They will hear about the UN Women Discriminatory Law Review. They will hear how is law reformed in the Bahamas. They will hear the talk about the gender-based violence bill, which is in draft, and the Domestic Violence Act, which is will be also hearing about the National Gender Equality Policy, which is a draft document that I'm sure people will be interested in learning more about as well. And then, as well as looking at what about the criminalization of marital rape and intimate partner violence across the Commonwealth. So this will be an educational, informational forum. At the end of it, the expectation, we will have breakout rooms where persons who have already registered in the task force will provide various recommendations moving forward. That will be then looked at the committee. We are preparing for the Commission on the Status of Women on the 14th through the 25th of March in New York, and we will be able to, say what areas in the law that the Bahamas has taken steps to change and begun the legal pathway.
Now this text says, I have another question. Are they seeking to amend the laws for child custody? Because issue seems to favor women.
So looking at that, I think that one will be under discussion. Again, because what the person has said is it's discriminatory in that it favors somebody else, wherein the law should be, there should be equality in that once there's investigation, that the appropriate parent has the necessary support system, what would be best for the child, a decision is made. And it should not be just because it's the mother. Mm. You know, so I'm saying in that regard.
Okay. This text, says, I think the age of consent for gay teens is 18 and straight teens is 16. If that's so, that's not equality either.
That's right. That's not equality either.
Is that true, though?
The way it's written, we'll have to look at the nuances of it. But yeah, that is a concern.
Okay.
So remember now, in respect to the Convention on the Elimination of All Forms of Discrimination, the Bahamas would have signed on to this convention, would have been ratified by the UN in 1946. And then the Bahamas would have signed on in 1993. So it's almost 30 years, it's 29 years since that time, and that the Bahamas, this convention, as well as a convention called the Belém do Pará to prevent violence, as well as the Beijing Platform of 1995, these additional laws, the whole form of it is to condemn discrimination against women in all its forms, and that states would agree to pursue by all appropriate means and without delay a policy of eliminating discrimination against women, and to this end, embody the principle of equality of men and women in their national constitutions and other appropriate legislation if it's not yet incorporated, and therefore to ensure through law and other appropriate means the practical realization of this principle. So the goal is to ensure how can we practically realize equality for both men and women in our country based on the law.
What I find is that we are very often driven by this to the extent of our requirement to report to or comply with international organizations. And so as long as the organizations aren't putting any pressure on us and we don't have any reporting requirements at the moment, we kind of just flow through it, because at home, it's not a hot button issue. It's not a burning issue. Nobody's running around trying to tell us we need gender equality. We need to get rid of discrimination in our laws. No, I mean, not when I say nobody, I mean, I'm sure there are people who are doing it, but it's not a issue that's crescendoing in the society, because we see them very often. I mean, maybe I'm just pontificating, very often to be driven by what is the buzz thing, the hot button issue.
Yes,
so now by your forum, you're raising it and elevating it, and maybe some more folk will take it seriously.
Oh yes, I think the government is committed to this work. I know the president and the chair, president of the Senate, Honorable Adderley, and the chair, the Honorable DeVoe, are women who are passionate about addressing this, and the Senate has made this an area of focus. So I think that it is moving to that level where the legislators, the government members, our minister, as I said, Obi, Honorable Wilskum, and Minister Ramming, is saying that we need, as the government, to address these areas and not to leave it just for when we see, God rest this old Bella, God rest heavenly, Mr. Ferguson, like when we get excited and we want to march, but within our laws, we must make some decisions to really support persons addressing gender-based violence. We must and ensure that women have equal rights and access to inheritance, to property, to, you know, there's some simple things that we can do.
Yeah, you know, I was told on one occasion by people who are in the area of promoting gender equality that you move the issue forward more when you actually treat the issue itself with equality, right? Rather than, like, very often, and I mean, I can only speak from my own observation of things, very often the issue of gender equality boils down to female equality. It's not gender, it's female equality. It's what's happening to women, what's going on with women, and that has a necessary focus. but I'm going to read something for you. And this person seems to be hitting me. Sorry to put this forward, Mr. Lang, but there are no shelters for males in the Bahamas. There are 3 shelters for women. I want to hear your guest thoughts on this, please. Also, males commit suicide at a higher rate than females. How will they address this issue? Because the truth is, whatever the mental struggles of men, whatever the issues of men, whatever the challenges of men, they don't get that kind of hearing because for some reason you're strong, some reason you can handle it, some reason you're perpetrated. You're the one doing every doggone thing in the world. And there's not an equality even in the issue itself.
And I respect what your listener has said, and I commend them for bringing up that point. And I say to you that it is true that we, in the Bahamas, I think we have a unique situation compared to other countries where there would be the cry that, oh, women don't get to go to school, they're not educated, they lie, you know, so that would be the cry in a Muslim country. But in the Bahamas, women are elevated, more women graduate. When it's like 3-1 almost when you look at women with a higher level of education and the kind of support that has been given to women and girls to get their education is stronger. And the services that have been provided has been stronger. And we must, and we started that with the male desk at the Department of Gender and Family Affairs. You would have known Mr. Henry Johnson would have been championing this cause. Yeah. And the Ministry of Health as well would have started to have its male clinics specific to addressing the health of males. And we must do more. And I'm saying as a woman in this position that, you know, we must have a Save the Males program because more of our young men, as you have seen, mental health, mental stress. I used to be a teacher. I taught at D.W. Davis. When I first came back home, and I was distressed at the young men because can you imagine going through an educational system for 12 years and coming out and one, not being able to fill out an application, not being able to fully have a grasp of English or reading and so forth, and then being looked down on people, but you went through an educational system. So we have to take responsibility for supporting our young men and providing the services, and we will be doing that. So I hope that person contacts us so that we can, you know, there's Mr. Dave Williams and the International Men's Organization, Men's Day. They partner with us to do a lot of work in this area.
Yeah, and you go through an education system dominated by female leadership, dominated by female teachers. And so we have a call on the line. Go ahead, caller, we're listening to you. All right, go ahead, caller.
Yeah, good afternoon. Can you hear me clearly?
Yeah, I can hear you. You sound a little muffled, but we can hear you.
Okay, good afternoon to your guest. I didn't catch your name, but nonetheless, I'm wondering, listening to the conversation, I'm glad to hear of the progress that is being made and what is being put on the table by the Minister of State, Lisa Raming, and Minister Obi Roscombe. I think it's very progressive. But what I wanted to know is, I heard one texter brought it up earlier enough, though. As it relates to custody in our country, there's a marked difference when you have parents who are married with children and custody in terms of divorce versus parents who are single parents who are not married, and even worse when you consider the structure of the family and the importance of the family structure on another side. And so I'm looking for you to address that first point. And so my second point is, when you look at the family structure and how it's been broken down into our country, I believe that the laws that are on the books directly contravenes to ensuring that the family is as strong as possible, even and especially in single-parent homes, which make up the majority of homes in our country. And so I believe that our laws need to be addressed, and I would like to hear from you on what is being done to address the weakness in the laws as it relates to custody between single parents where predominantly the mother is recognized. The father can't even fill out a passport to apply for a passport for that child, which I find absolutely ridiculous in a 21st century. And so I'd like to know, what are you all going to be doing to address the deficiencies that deepen the divide in the family structure, in particular, where the home is a single parent home in nature? Nice. Thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you, Anton. Appreciate it. Go ahead, ma'am.
Wow. Thank you.
Dr. Khaled Philippe, by the way, Anton.
Yeah, thank you so much. As a matter of fact, this UN review has a section called Marriage and Family Relations, and I can hear you're passionate about this area, and I ask you to partner with us. The Child Protection Act, and they said it sets out the law concerning care, protection, and other matters concerning the child. It contains provisions regarding the powers and responsibility of parents. The language of the act reinforces some negative stereotypes about women, in particular single women who are mothers and mothers who are unmarried. And so they recommend concerns. Firstly, they talk about this section is specific to unmarried mothers as opposed to applying generally and equally to both parents. So here is in the law where there's a discrimination against men because it only talks about unmarried mothers. You spoke about that. Here again in the law, it speaks that mothers who are divorced or living apart, where many fathers fail to share the responsibility of care, protection, and maintenance of their children, it speaks to that discrimination, again, where you have these scenarios where you need fairness. And they say that state parties should ensure that by their laws, both parents, regardless of their marital status and whether they live with their children or not, share equal rights and responsibilities for their children.
So the advocacy is for both parents to have equal hearing in this situation. That's that.
Yes.
And consideration.
Yes, yes, that is the consideration that we will be discussing. So,
okay, because I was just going to say,
biased towards men, it's biased against men, biased towards women, but that's not equality. It should be fair. Yes.
And in some instances, there's a bias against single men and women versus married men and women, right?
Right. And it says again, it should not have that kind of discriminatory language. Both parents, regardless of their marital status, where they live with the children, sharing equal rights and responsibility, right? The reason why the impact on the child of separation from his or her parents, such they really want to prevent this tearing, this emotional distress, the danger of experiencing harm emotionally is even more grave, and they recognize that we need to support the children and protect the child.
Doc, you don't have to go, right?
I don't have to go.
You could stay with us after the break. Uh-huh. Can you stay with us after the break?
How long the break?
The break is 10 minutes. No, if you have to go, you have to go. That's okay. That's okay.
I can stay with the break. I want people to know that we're really doing some work here.
Yeah, no, but I know we were only supposed to be for a shorter period of time, so I don't want to impose on your time, but there are other people who are sending in texts and what have you. So like,
okay, then.
But you can come back.
I will advise the people.
All right, so we'll come back after the break, but we'll stay with Dr. Khaled Philippe. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. When we come back from the news break, we'll continue our discussions. We'll be back.
Take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather, cold or warm, let me know that you're not alone. Holler if you feel like you've been down the same road.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
We believe in relationship banking. We take pride in getting to know our clients. You have access to knowledgeable, approachable ambassadors and financial coaches so that we can recommend the best product for you. At Fidelity, we care about you. From your financial health to your physical health, we can relate to you because we're just like you. Come and start your relationship banking experience with us today. Visit us online at fidelitygroup.com visit any of our branches in Nassau or Grand Bahama, or phone 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 for Freeport.
I'm Ed Donahue with an AP News Minute. People in Odessa, in Ukraine, are setting a defiant tone. There was a unity celebration. Flags were flown around the country in a sign of unity as Russian troops massed, pulling back forces. Press Secretary Jen Psaki at the White House was asked if this pullback is meaningful.
I'm not going to define that by troop numbers. I think we will know it when we see it, which is a verifiable reduction of troops at the border of Ukraine.
Retired Lieutenant General Ben Hodges says it's possible Russia could go on the offensive, but it's unlikely.
If there is a new offensive, I do not believe that it will be a massive assault on all fronts or a large-scale attack towards Kyiv. Such attacks are neither feasible nor necessary to achieve the Kremlin's aim.
Hodges says the U.S. and the West must still pursue negotiations, but warns Putin is not a Boy Scout. The U.S. must beware of the Russians. I'm Ed Donahue.
With all that's going on in the world, we could all use a little more kindness. Babushak encourages you to join us as we spread and share kindness this holiday season. A kind word or gesture, checking on a friend or loved one, helping a family in need. The little things go a long way. Kindness changes everything. So be an agent of hope. Visit www.bekindbahamas.org and Be Kind Bahamas on social media for updates. Babushak reminds you that a better Bahamas begins with you.
Start the year making all the right money moves. Budgeting and saving? Yes. Investing? Check. But what if you could do more? With an RF brokerage account, you can get priority access to local investment opportunities right as they come to the market. Never miss a bond or new share offering again. Plus, you can house all your investments in one place and benefit from expert investment advice. Contact us at brokerage@rfgroup.com to start doing more today. Some conditions apply. RF, money at work.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau.
I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid to take a stand.
Beginning tomorrow, February 17th, continuing on the 18th, that's Thursday, from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m., the Ministry of Social Services and Urban Development will be hosting a national gender-based violence discriminatory law review forum. And on Friday, it will also continue from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. That's at the Bahama Grand Hyatt. There is a Zoom platform that will permit persons to participate. I have with me Dr. Kale Philippe, who is the director, the new director, the newly minted director, I think, of the Department of, is it gender equality? I'm getting young, so I don't always remember.
It's called Gender and Family Affairs, Department of Gender and Family Affairs.
Gender and Family Affairs. Okay, so you are the technical advisor to the government on these matters of gender and family affairs. And therefore, we are going to look to you to give good advice about how men can get in this conversation more. Because I have to tell you, Doc, every time this issue of gender equality comes up, it is clear that there is a sense of dissatisfaction among many of males that they are not getting the hearing they are getting. So let me read for you some of the text I have here. It says, Lang, good day. Every time I brought up the stuff with male shelters and male abuse by women, women on the show said, we dealing with women now because women are more affected. The women the other day that threw hot water on her man went scot-free. no probation or therapy. A man got both for pushing a girl down. Also, I talked about men would be more receptive to marital rape in law if discussion about consequences for women if they are found out to be lying. This next text says, great show as usual. Question, how come us men can't carry our child away to Miami without the mother's consent? Because last time I checked, the man was in participation in the baby. Can't carry the child to the doctor. They also ask, where is the mother? This is crazy world we live in.
Wow, that hurts, eh?
It certainly reflects something, right?
It hurts. It shows you the heart of our men in the Bahamas to be good fathers, and there are good men out there. I want to shout out to my good man, Mr. Keith Philippe, who works hard every day and family. And I think that, you know, we need to recognize, Mr. Lang, the importance of when we talk about gender equality, we're talking also about the role of men. I think the previous listener spoke about the family and the family structure and how are we supporting that. And that's the other component of the Department of Gender and Family Affairs is family affairs. And I know the ministers are also minded to strengthen this area because you need the male and the female figure, or you need this support for men, and I hear the cry of men, and that is in this document as well, to equalize the playing field so that men are able to take full responsibility in terms of child custody once they are found by the court to have the necessary means to do so. You know. So,
I know when you said. There are good men out there that you were trying to give a shout out to the fact that there are good men out there, right?
Yes.
But notice though, the issue of was the question was, I can't take my child to Miami without the female consent. And so your reaction was, there are good men out there. And that's absolutely, that never comes up with the issue of a woman. So why is the assumption that a woman taking care of a child is a good woman? Well, I see
what you're saying.
You understand what I mean? Because the fact of the matter is, many are not.
There are many who are not.
There are many men who suck at parenting, and there are many women who suck at parenting. And this, why we have an assumption that a mother is going to be better at it than a man, I don't know. There might be evidence for it. There might be some research to support it. I don't know.
Yeah, you know. And again, I would have to say, well, that's my bias, right? My bias in my upbringing and exposure has been that generally most men leave the woman with the child. But then the question is, why does that happen? You know, sometimes, and I've experienced it as a physician, sitting with a young woman, and she's distressed, right? And I'm like, you're distressed. You didn't plan to have children. The night of the excitement, what happened? Was it a choice? Yes, you loved him last week, 2 weeks, a month, 3 months, and now you're pregnant and you don't want to see him at all. So sometimes we have to really, I believe in researching. We need to figure out, why are there more single women? That has been increasing. Because sometimes there are young men who want to support the child and who want to be in there, but there's something that happens where a woman might get angry or frustrated. There might be another baby mother, that like the drama. It's complex, and
the whole human experience complexity of emotion and thought and behavior that all play on each other and so forth. And so, you know, passion, the passion that leads to these intimate moments is fairly simple, and it has to be because it's required for the procreation of the planet. But the intelligence and the emotional intelligence are required for the consequences of that passion is more complicated. So it's not as simple, you know, that coming together physically, that's a relatively simple enterprise. But now raising, because, you know, human beings have to have a longer period of time to raise their children than almost any other creature on planet Earth. So that's a commitment that is really drawn out. And if you think about, if somebody walked up, doc, just help me for a minute, right? If somebody walked up to you and me when we were, say, 23 years old and say, okay, this year, I need you to take care of this for 18 years. Anything, right, that has a huge responsibility attached to it, what would be our automatic response almost? Is you crazy? Right?
Yep.
So, but you go, you have a moment of passion, last maybe 3 minutes, 4 minutes. And when it's done, there is 18 plus years
of responsibility
attached.
That you are distressed now.
Well, you didn't plan. You didn't plan for it. You haven't necessarily prepared for it. It comes with a lot. Financial, social, and other responsibilities. And so for the woman, unfortunately, I don't say unfortunately, for the woman, proportionately, she doesn't get to walk away from that consequence like a guy can. I mean, physically walk away from it, at least for 9 months, unless she has an abortion, that responsibility is in her.
Yeah.
Okay, so she bears a much heavier physical burden in this process.
She does. And the challenge is, and we've seen it and you've seen it in communities, is it's an emotional burden. And so yeah. I've made a mistake with someone who now I despise, and I have this child, and the child looks like the person. Unless you have the heart of Jesus and get converted, and you are praying daily to fight this anger, this disappointment, the child then becomes a victim of this abuse, unbeknownst to them. You look like your father, you're no good father. And, you know, we've seen this, we've heard this play out. And this is why education is so important. Again, the Department of Gender and Family Affairs has the responsibility of educating, but the Ministry of Education as well, of educating our children in quality sexual reproductive health information and responsibility. I had the privilege of having that kind of education where I remember Sister Eileen at SAC would say the who, what, when, where, why, and how, and the responsibility. Who you're doing it, what, why, when, what is going to happen, and are you willing to carry this for the next 18 years. When my sister, Sakia, went to SAC, they had this program where they had the responsibility of carrying a baby around with them, you know, and having a partner in school for this child. And my sister remembers stuffing the child in the locker because it's like, I can't take this responsibility at this age. So they did that program, and I remember Ms. Skinner was trying to bring this program to the schools because you have to try and teach children who do not have a forward-thinking mentality. They are they don't have abstract thinking. This idea of a child is cute and sweet and all of this. No, they come with responsibility. And I think this is also an opportunity to look how we need to transform our educational system to ensure that the majority of our students are thinking at a higher level about actualizing their purpose in life.
But, you know, I have to say, though, I mean, listen, I don't need anybody else to endorse this for me, but I have to say from my own observation, the planet has been fairly blessed because most parents have gotten it done. I mean, like, they raised these to adult age and mostly physically safe and healthy. Mm-hmm. And, you know, whatever level of education. So I'm saying most people have gotten it done, not despite their level of education and what have you, you know, and the world is a reflection of that. The problem is when it doesn't, on the margins, when it doesn't happen, the the tragedy, the human tragedy is significant. And that's what we're trying to avoid.
Yes, we are. And we've seen the tragedy escalate in our country and more recently, particularly after the pandemic and even before that. And one of the things that you keep saying is, but why don't we address it? I can tell you, Dr. Chaswell Hanna has a dissertation, go online. It's about murder in the Bahamas, addressing homicide. And he did a phenomenal document on how to address homicide in the Bahamas. We need to take this kind of information. In 2010, we did a study on the epidemiology of violence in persons in the Bahamas between 15 and 24 years, a multidisciplinary team supported by the Pan American Health Organization, of which I was the principal investigator. And we identified that who were the majority of perpetrators? Males. Who were the majority of victims? Males. And what program do we have? You know, and this is why Mr. Johnson was promoting and Dr. Sandra Dean Patterson looking at perpetrators and Mr. Dave Williams and Ms. Bo looking at men in prison. But we had to start earlier in really addressing these issues, because what you're saying is, well, the majority of people turn out good. Amen, great, wonderful. But what about those who are vulnerable? They are impacting the rest of society. So
and that's the problem.
From Lifekee to all the way out east, you got to make sure you have a dog, not one dog, 3-4 dogs. You have to make sure you have camera. You have to make sure you, like, so not only is the intimate partner or the violence escalating between genders, but then it increases crime. So, you know, the complexity of it, we need to address that.
Yeah. Definitely the forum creates an opportunity for discussing the legal aspects of what could be done to at least give more room for people to be in a safer environment and so forth. This text says, what would cure this is if the government put more harsh penalties on child support like in the USA.
Well,
I don't know because that system in the U.S., I understand, is still continuously fraught with challenges, notwithstanding the penalties.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because if you think about it, right, I mean, and this is why this discussion has to happen, because the person provides this offer of a solution,
mm-hmm.
which, on the face of it, seems like something. But here's the thing. If child support is something I must do and I don't do it, what is the penalty to me? You can't make me pay money. You could garnish my wages, but then I could quit my job. You my house, but then okay, I could walk away from the house. Or you could put me in jail. Now the child's father or mother is where? In jail.
In jail, not supporting.
So the solutions, like the solution of a penalty is difficult in when you take account of, well, what's the consequence for? Now, a conscientious person don't want to go to jail, don't want their salary garnished, and they might decide, let me go ahead. But it really is the unlawful person, the person who is less willing to be orderly and compliant, who's the challenge. And they're the persons most likely to walk away and say, do what you want to me.
It is true. So there are extremes of personalities that we're dealing with, and the beauty of addressing the law is it equalizes the playing field and provides the support and opportunity. For example, one of the areas that this UN report suggested is the support for legal aid. You know, so it looks at prevention, right, as well as intervention. You know, you have your primary, your secondary, what do you do when something happens? And we need the spectrum of the law to addressing gender-based violence. Where is the prevention? So example, the prevention and making sure that whatever decision we made about sexual reproductive health services or the rights of, persons to access or so that they're not vulnerable, right? So you're vulnerable.
Or tied to legal aid. How about Access to representation, to adjudication, to to arbitration, because a lot of times these men and these women are out there and they are struggling, man. And let me tell you something. They struggle and the conflict escalates. You get it before a lawyer, you get it before someone. It escalates, it becomes nasty, especially when you have laws that tell you, listen, if you're married, you can't even separate unless it's on the grounds of adultery and abuse. Which means that, okay, it wasn't adultery, so I got to create, if I can't find it, this notion of abuse. And people don't have the means to negotiate these through these issues, and it just escalates into worse and worse nastiness. And who's in the middle? The child.
The children. The children are in the middle. And so we want to, so this I'll talk about it.
Just before you do, we have a call on the line. Let's take that so they don't hold too long. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you. Hi. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you. Okay. Go ahead, Dr. Philippe.
So here it says when they reviewed the legal aid, there's no statutory framework in place for the state provision of legal aid to defendants or victims in criminal proceedings or applicants and in civil proceedings. So legal aid is all provided by the attorneys at law and by the Eugene Deputy Law Legal Aid Clinic. We thank them, which serves as a training facility for students at the law school, and is operated for the benefit of persons who, in the opinion of the director, are unable to afford the services of a practitioner. What this document is recommending is to enact legal aid legislation which provides for legal assistance, representation, and advice for victims, and what I've recommended is perpetrators, against whom offenses have been committed under the Domestic Violence Protection Orders Act, or the Sexual Offenses Act, or the Trafficking in Persons Act. And really, at the very minimum, and to accord with best practice, the legal aid legislation that would ensure that complainants and survivors have the right to free legal aid, maybe free court support, free access to a qualified and impartial interpreter. So it looks at what you're talking about, this impact. You're already a victim. That might be very challenging for you. You got to go track down. You got to pay for. You don't know the nuances of the law. You don't know how to support yourself. Even mental health support should be provided and is provided through the Crisis Center. So it looks at the views and concerns of the victims and those who are perpetrators, and consider what are the appropriate stages of the criminal justice process where their interests are affected or the interests of justice are required. What are victim services and agencies and non-governmental organizations? How can we come together to provide the support and mechanism? So, it's very significant.
Yeah. This text says, Mr. Lang, women need to stop this dangerous lie. The lie I'm talking, because that hurt a lot of people. This being been going on for centuries. There is a skewness in the extent to which women tend some to women, believe that this is more my child than your child.
Yes.
I can tell you that shifts though, depending on the circumstances, because if the woman, or in some instances, the man feels like they ain't financially well off enough to take care of somebody, all of a sudden now, this your child.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah, do you carry them, Or if the child represents an opportunity to leverage the conflict in favor of somebody, the man or the woman, now it's about using the child for leverage. So you got some of these dynamics playing themselves out too in a relationship.
Yes, there's some really sad dynamics because, again, the child is in the middle and becomes twice the victim between the mother and the father. Mother, the father, the other baby daddy, the other family members. And so I think, we have to protect. This is when a situation has happened, and we have to have laws in place to support the child, support both parents to address this matter. But we also have to think of what do we need to do our best to train up our children and provide the support that's necessary for them to choose alternative pathways. You know,
yeah. We've got a call on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Hi.
Yes, go ahead, caller.
Hi, Mr. Lang. How are you?
I'm good. And yourself?
I have to say Happy New Year.
Yes, ma'am. Happy New Year.
Okay. And good afternoon to your guests as well.
Good afternoon, ma'am.
Okay. I remembered there was a referendum question pertaining to gender equality for single men. I don't know if you remember that, Mr. Lang. There was a question on the referendum that was held pertaining to giving single men equal rights, like how did they
Yes. I remember that.
Yeah.
Yes, I remember that.
And I wonder how many single men voted no.
I know.
That's all I have to say.
Thank you very much. Good to hear from you. I don't know, but it's hard to judge these referendum on the vote because they when we politicize them, the issue gets convoluted so that maybe a person isn't so much voting against their interest as they are voting against a party or voting against something that they think has been an affront to them. So it's kind of really difficult to sort that out without more, questioning of the persons who actually voted and seeing if you can get sentiments from them.
That is true.
We're going to take a break, Doc, and then when we come back, we'll continue. There's some more text here, so we'll come back after this break. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host.
Smoke coming from your window.
Chad, Johnny Moe's burning down the house frying chicken.
Your kitchen is a mess. You have insurance?
If I have insurance, I pulled my phone out, pull up the Royal Star Assurance app, and in no time, I was on live chat with RSA rep. Send pics of the damage, file my claim on the spot.
Wow, I don't think my insurance got that kind of...
You gotta go to RSA for that.
Download the RSA app today. Live chat available weekdays 9 to 5.
Know how important collecting your money can be to the success of your business. Start your relationship with Fidelity today so that we can show you the many options available to you with our merchant services. From click and pay options online to merchant terminals and e-com to help your business succeed. For more details, speak to one of our business development officers at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport. Visit our website at fidelitygroup.com or visit any of our branches.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
I'm not afraid, to take a stand.
Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, where we've been speaking with Dr. Kale Philippe, the director of the Gender and Family Affairs Department at the Ministry of Social Services and Urban Development. We've been talking about the upcoming forum that the ministry is having on National Gender-Based Violence Discriminatory Law Reform Forum. That's going to be taking place between the 17th, which is tomorrow, and Friday the 19th. And if you are interested, and I imagine by the comments I'm getting, there might be people who are interested, you can participate in this forum by Zoom. Doc, how are people going to get the Zoom link and what have you? What do they need to do? Oh, did I lose Doc? Oh, I lost the guys. I'm going to send it in, send the information in. We'll be able to get it to you, but I don't know if she's dropped off. She did go far longer than she was supposed to go. let me read a text, some text here, because this text says, does a man have a say in a woman aborting a child if he doesn't want a child and doesn't want to pay child support? Can a woman decide this? Can you ask your guest? Well, first of all, I could tell you that there are a limited set of circumstances in the Bahamas under which a child can be aborted legally. Okay, so if it's not having to do with some medical issue that is certified by a licensed medical practitioner, there isn't any consent a man or a woman could give having an abortion in the Bahamas. Under such circumstances, abortion is illegal. Now, in the United States of America, I don't know what the law is, and I can't pretend to know what that is, but in this country, now, can a woman have an abortion when the medical, when a physical health or mental health is at risk without the consent of the husband, the consent of the father? I do not know. That's a good question, but I don't know. This text says, Mr. Lang, this is a serious topic. I'm willing to help sponsor the show if you do this show again, because this topic is actually the core of some of our crime and antisocial behavior in this country. Say the same text is an abortion illegal. What type of darkness that text is texting? Shake my head. Well, I see Dr. Felipe said trying to reconnect, get her back. We happy to entertain. let me tell you something. It is very clear to me that we have a sea of underlying relationship challenges in this country, a sea of it. I'm not one of those alarmist people who would run around going, oh, we're in trouble, and I'm not that alarmist. Human relations are fraught with challenges. I mean, I keep going back to this. If you're a Bible believer, if you're not a Bible believer, then you could go to any book in the Bible. I mean, any book in any religion, and you'll find this to be true. Human beings have beautiful relationships with each other, but their relationships are almost always fraught with challenges. Almost always, right? You go back to the Garden of Eden, and you know, Cain kill Abel, right? Problems, challenges, conflict, right? Why? Because we come to life with individuality. We come to life with choice. And sometimes our individuality and our choices conflict with each other. And our egos are wanting to survive. And one way to survive is by getting your choice taken up. That's one of the things that when I win, I count, I matter, right? And some women and some men doggedly fight to win. They don't fight to make the whole better. They fight to win. And it creates these challenges. We have a call on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Good afternoon, Mr. Lang.
Very
good show. It's time that we address these social problems in our country. But, you know, I think that young people in the schools should be taught how to respect each other and know how to, you know, to address each other and know how to do form relationships. They should be taught these things in schools, because apparently some places, you know, in some homes, they're not getting this. And we need to go back to basics with some of these things, you know? And if we do that, it will be a much better place.
But you know, Nurse, you raise a good point. And
a 16-year-old could give consent for sex and she cannot sign a consent form if she needs surgery. She cannot.
If you'd like to make a call, please just hang up and try.
Oh, Lord, the phone gone. If she, hello?
Yes, I'm listening to you, ma'am.
If she's until she's 18, she can't vote. She can't do. She can't get a driver's license. Come on, so why is she able to give consent? Because somebody who I'm sure was a male did that law and say, yes, they could give a consent at 16. We need to change that law to 18. All the other things you can't do, why in the world you should be able to give your body to somebody at 16? And see, when you get pregnant, if you need to have a cesarean section, you can't even sign your own consent form.
Now, I would challenge you. I challenge you, nurse, on this, though. Hello. Hi, nurse. I challenge you on this, though.
Uh-huh.
That law that exists in the Sexual Offenses Act, I challenge you to go and find out when that law was passed in the House of Assembly, whether the females in there also voted for it.
Yeah, well, I can imagine. I'm sure they did. But you know,
right?
The thing
so,
about it
so
is,
you, so,
I would
so
like
it can't
to
be,
see
so it can't just be a male. It can't just be the male legislator's problem.
Yeah, I agree. But I agree with that. But the thing about it is they need to change it, Mr. Lang. They really need to change it. And we need to teach these young people in the schools how to respect each other, how to know they're valued, know that their body is important to them, that their life is important. They need to know these things. They don't have no values sometimes. They just have no values. And these things should be taught in the school if they're not taught in the home.
Thank you. I appreciate you, nurse. Thank you. You know, and I think nurse is right on some of those points about what we might want to do in the school system because it's not happening at home. But it puts another burden on the school system to do so. But here is what is true. We are told from research done by people like Dr. Gary Coleman and those on emotional intelligence, that emotional intelligence as opposed to academic intelligence is far more responsible for success in life and in the workplace. Yet our education system is more fully skewed in the direction of academic intelligence development. That's where we are. That the process of teaching people how to come to decision making, how to manage their emotions, how to handle and cope with stress, how to deal with conflict, are marginal considerations in our educational system. Marginal. And why not? We have teachers trained in English, teachers trained in math, teachers trained in art, teachers trained in sciences, teachers trained in technical and vocational studies. So they got all these technical training. So now you say, wow, I need to construct a world in which people are capable of child intelligence, and you have a scarcity of skill set to do it. And you think the army of teachers are going to go, oh, let me go and retrain so I can be an emotional intelligence teacher, et cetera? No, it's not going to happen. In fact, you could only get the education system to make that creep and start to say, I'm going to reform to the thing that makes for the most success in life in the workplace because it's comfortable and it's easier to stay put. Because everybody was vested in the current arrangement, want to remain in the current arrangement. So what do you do? What do you do? I say there's a way. Leave the teachers to teach the academic intelligence, and let's create institutions around the family, around the church, around after school, that does the other part of it. That's one way of doing it. Because these human challenges that we are having, they are old, they're ancient, and they are rooted in the base realities of us, where if we get mad enough, we'll rip you to shreds. If we get angry enough, we'll treat you with the greatest nastiness on planet Earth, no matter who you are. If we get distraught enough, we'll forget all the good and only remember right now I hate you, I dislike you, I'm angry with you, and that's how we behave. Other than when we come to learn, not an easy process, but we come to learn that there is a way for me to deal with my distress. See, born of pain, my fear, born of threat, of danger, and my sadness born of loss, there are ways I can deal with this. Dr. Philip, I understand you are with us. Do we have Dr. Philip on?
Hello.
Hi, hello. Or do we have a caller on?
Yes, Mr. Lang, how are you, sir?
Hey, I'm doing okay. Go ahead, Ed.
Good afternoon to you. I listened to you as you questioned the madam this afternoon, and I thought it was great. But Mr. Lang, I'm basically almost 70.
Okay.
And in some cases, I am confused listening to the show and listening to some of the beliefs.
Okay.
Let me tell you why. I am of the belief that this is a conspiracy again to replace the traditional family structure, to liberalize, and to basically emasculate the man. Let me tell you what I mean. A few questions was asked by Texas. Number one, in our country, the major problem in our country that no one seems to want to raise, the erosion of the traditional family. That's husband, wife, children. That's one of the major. There's no passion whatsoever. We have protocol on the coronavirus, protocol on this and protocol that. There is no message on the protocol of the major traditional family. One. Two, a single man in this country have no rights to their child biologically, although they may be qualified to take care of their child. I am in an environment where I deal. I am also in an environment where lawyers come in and I question. We ask this question. Just yesterday, that question was raised. Single men in this country have no rights to their biological child, even though they can't afford to take care of their child. Two, there is no home settled in this country for men. Let me just say this. An alpha male man cannot function in an environment where he feels that he's going to be effeminized and talked down to. This is why some of our men refuse to go to church. It's not an excuse. I don't support it. But man have to be. I was structured in an environment where my father and me had a conversation. My two uncles who were pastors, they were not seminary trained, but when they socialized and there was always a conversation. And I'm saying to you is this, that until we fix these, restore ourselves to some of these old traditional values, we can talk and we can do research. I am of the belief that this is a conspiracy to replace the traditional family structure. This is a conspiracy to liberalize the world. And trust me, they will do research until Christ come back. Nothing will change. We got to remember the principle of God will never, ever change.
Thank you, my brother. I appreciate you calling. Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take our final break. And when we come back, we'll wrap up our conversations. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shafari Lang, your host. We'll be back after this break.
I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, come take my...
Start the year making all the right money moves. Budgeting and saving, yes. Investing, check. But what if you could do more? With an RF brokerage account, you can get priority access to local investment opportunities right as they come to the market. Never miss a bond or new share offering again. Plus, you can house all your investments in one place and benefit from expert investment advice. Contact us at brokerage@rfgroup.com to start doing more today. Some conditions apply. RF, money at work.
With all that's going on in the world, we could all use a little more kindness. Babushak encourages you to join us as we spread and share kindness this holiday season. A kind word or gesture, checking on a friend or loved one, helping a family in need. The little things go a long way. Kindness changes everything. So be an agent of hope. Visit www.bekindbahamas.org and Be Kind Bahamas on social media for updates. Babushak reminds you that a better Bahamas begins with you.
I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather, cold or warm. Send you know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you can't complain, same
issue. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Z Live. I'm Shabab Ulang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon. Well, I didn't get to the issue I wanted to get to today. I'm not going to get to it. It's okay. Maybe another time. But as to the caller who called just now, if there's a conspiracy, and in quote, the traditional family, that conspiracy has been going on a long time. See, when you talk about a traditional family, you're talking about the traditional family from the perspective of a Judeo-Christian believer. You're not talking about a traditional family from the perspective of the tribes in Africa or the Amazon. Because they don't necessarily share your traditional Christian family arrangements. Some of them live in arrangements of multiple wives, in some instances, very rare instances, multiple husbands. In the traditional family structure of a David or Solomon, who had 700 wives and thousands of concubines, was that traditional family you're talking about? And you could trace human history throughout the pre-industrial era, and you will find variations on marriage in which largely children were taken in and were given to men, and they were married and they had children before they were 16, 17, and they were carrying these families and they were subjected to all kinds of domination. And then the marriage was largely an arrangement to ensure that you could get a household of people. So you have all kinds of qualitative and quantitative variations of what we tend to call this traditional family, which is largely a Judeo-Christian concept, which even in the Bible, from which the Judeo-Christian principles draw its references, there were variations on how men and women carried out their relations. I do agree that the traditional, the so-called traditional Christian family unit as described in a Judeo-Christian, mostly Western construct, had been a soundly stabilizing force. And I think largely and healthfully responsible for our progress and stability and civility. And that the departure and the deterioration of that is having a huge impact on our world. And largely because the male, one, in too many instances, is abdicating his responsibility to fully participate in the maintenance and development of his family by his presence, spiritual and otherwise, And also because there is a new mentality forging amongst women, and it's been forging for close to 50, 50, 60 years now, where in their quest to empower themselves, to feel more human and fully human and independent, there is a the relationship necessary to make for wholesome family. And it's not the one, I'm not blaming the woman, because in the history of our world, too many women have been subjected to a disproportionate power dynamic between themselves and men, and that has caused for some abuse of them, some harsh abuse of them, and some disadvantage of them in realizing their own full human potential. So their quest for, desire for this greater empowerment is understood. But what is not happening on both sides is there's not a wise and prudent approach to dealing with the matter. There is not a mature, spiritual, godly comportment of themselves to deal with the matter. And so what is happening is ego is at work, selfishness is at work, devilish desires are at work, causing for this disruption and challenge. And it's not that in all instances the people are trying to be malicious about it. It's just that in ignorance in some instances, or just in sheer hurt and pain in some other instances, or just in terms of not knowing how to do it better, the end result is quite clear and vivid. Fracture the thing, rupture the thing, end the thing, because we don't know how to make it work. And let's be clear, right? I mean, if you and somebody, a man and a woman, you have a child, and now you were passionate when you had the child, but now that you can't deal with the child, that means that you don't have the ability. Okay? Some people might say, well, you're not willing. No. Well, if you understood what was at stake, you would be willing. But because you don't understand what's at stake, you lack the ability to make this situation work. Even if it means you're not going to be together, there has to be an ability to work together for the common good of the thing you produced together. And so now we create another cycle of hurt and abuse, and possibly not altogether, possibly dysfunction for a child. Because many children come through these dysfunctional circumstances okay, I would say. What we don't know is whether they would have been better off, but I mean, we could always speculate about that. But they come through it okay, but some don't. Some live a lifetime of dysfunction, a lifetime of pain, a lifetime of ill formation, psychologically and emotionally, because of these things. But this is the human experience. And so I'm not gonna sit around like I'm alarmed at it, or sit around and speak as if it's some kind of cataclysmic undoing of the world and so forth and so forth. Listen, the God who created the planet, who we say knows all things, is everywhere. You know, this is his planet. He created it. You think he's shocked at what has transpired? Does he know everything? So you can only fix in your space what you can fix. And you know what is the only thing mostly you can fix? Yourself. When all is said and done, all that's happening around us, the only thing we can really, really, really focus on and really do anything about is ourselves. So that at the very least, we eliminate ourselves as the problem. Y'all have a great evening. The Hit Back is up next. God bless you. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.
Take a stand. Everybody. Come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
See you. the Record with Shivago Lang is sponsored by Royal Star Assurance, Bamboo Shack, Royal Fidelity Bank and Trust, the Digital Transformation Unit, Fidelity Bank Bahamas, and the Water and Sewage Corporation.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.